listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Film Courage with David Brannan and Karen Warden on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, hello. We want to welcome you to Film Courage. My name is Karen Warden.
And I'm David Brannan. Today's show is sponsored by the Holly Shorts Film Festival. Visit hollyshorts.com to submit your short film today.
Well, this past year, my co-host, David Brannan, began his Film Courage blog, where he documents his personal journey as a filmmaker. In keeping with the idea of the Film Courage blog, David and I decided to begin this radio show, also entitled Film Courage, because we realized there are so many facets of filmmaking we wish we could have personally learned faster. David and I wanted to start this as an outlet, where all filmmakers could plug in and immediately begin learning from other filmmakers.
And today, that filmmaker is Paul J. Alessi. Check out pauljalessi.com. You may be familiar with Paul because he has an incredible online presence. I mean, this guy, he's everywhere. I consider him one of the hardest working guys I know in independent film.
Paul's credits include the award-winning short film Morphine, 10 Till Noon, A Guy Named Murphy, Official Rejection, and the upcoming feature film Knuckle Draggers, which world premieres at the Newport Beach Film Festival this Sunday, April 26th, at 4 p.m., a film that Paul produced and stars in. David and I are extremely excited to have with us in the studio Paul J. Alessi. Welcome.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for the nice plugs and everything.
Yeah, absolutely. We're off and running here. Now, Paul, I'm ready to just jump right into this. I'm ready to get this going because I'm excited to have you here.
Yes.
So I hope everyone out there is ready to for this. So before we go right into, you know, your acting career, your producing career, which is it's fascinating how you got involved. You know, me and Paul had a conversation earlier this week.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to know right off the bat. I want to know how many days during the week, during the month, during the year, do you take off? Like how many vacation days or like full days where you do nothing associated with your film career?
Not many.
Wow.
Yeah, honestly, I mean, besides when I went back home for my sister's wedding a couple months ago,
yeah,
I work 24/7 just about.
Mm-hmm. Every day?
Every day.
You know?
Yeah, to one facet or another, depending what we're talking about. If it's
exactly
taking a meeting with financer or on the web working my magic or, you know, editing or anything to that, I'm working.
It was just something I wanted to get to because I deal with so many people that, you know, because I'm the same way. Every day I'm doing something, and
yes.
I just wonder about some people out there. Like, are they doing something every day?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you're literally 24/7.
Well, besides sleeping and eating, you know,
okay,
as much hustle as I can get. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And how many years of acting training have you had? I'm just curious.
Well, it goes back. Let's see, Cameron Thor Studios. I studied with for about 3 years, and then went to Sal Romeo and Stacy Martino for another approximately 3 years. And there were some few people in between, Harry Master George and a few other people that I studied with here and there. But the two long distance, as far as 3 years or so plus, and that I continue to go back with and get coaching is Cameron Thor and then Cameron Thor Studios and then Sal Romeo, Stacy Martino, and that whole group.
Okay.
So.
All right. I'm just getting ready to jump in into how you got this all started.
Yeah, yeah.
Before I do that, how many roles would you say you've booked, based on your acting talent, you know, with all the acting training you have, as opposed to the way you've marketed yourself and just being connected to the right people? You know, the work that you actually find, where does it come from?
Well, it's a bit of a combination, to be honest. You need the connections to get in the door, and then obviously you need to have some of the talent that they're looking for to actually book the job.
Yeah.
If it's straight up just going in and auditioning, I really haven't, probably maybe one. But mostly it's through somebody I know, and they refer me to somebody, and then I go in there. And most of the time, to be quite frank, I haven't even auditioned. They mm-hmm. either just looked at my reel online or
yeah.
just booked me because whatever. I mean, it's just, you know, connections.
I just know a lot of actors out there. You know, it's a struggle. It's a struggle to find the jobs. You know, and that's, you know, and yeah. So I'm definitely curious.
And you know, I am, and we're not talking about like network TV or some big budget films either. Most of my stuff is indie related and some few things here and there on TV. So
you
got to take that into perspective as well.
Absolutely.
Right. And with where you are right now in your career, how important has marketing been? I mean, your face is all over the internet. Is that something you planned?
Again, like kind of like a yes and no. It's obviously you want to market yourself to the best of your ability, but in doing certain things, it started escalating on its own, and with people coming on board to support and help in the friendships that you build, it kind of takes on its own being. Like there's a woman, Wendy Shepherd, as an example. She does a lot of online marketing and promotion, and she has this website called Officially Plugged In that verifies people that who they are. So it's not somebody saying that they're you and out there talking to people posing as Brad Pitt when it's not Brad Pitt. It's some strange guy running his site. So she has this site that validates people to make sure that you know that you're talking to Brad Pitt or it's not a fan site. And I met up with Wendy, and she helps me a ton on online promotion just through the networking stuff. So it wasn't a direct answer to your question, but it's a little bit combined. Yes, I want to be out there. I want to market myself because the more you're out there, the more people see you, the more recognizable you are, the easier it is to get meetings and book people. And like,
great.
You know, I'm out sometimes meeting people and like, dude, you're the guy from MySpace. And I'm like, yeah, how you doing?
And now, like someone like Wendy, how did you meet Wendy? Like, did you approach her? Did she approach you?
No, I met Wendy basically online. She approached me and said that she's putting this and we had some mutual friends that she had friends with in contacts. It's kind of like through the whole Sean Patrick Flannery. She started his site, and he was one of the first people on her site officially plugged in. And then she was looking through, seeing people that they know, kind of like mutual friends and connections, and then basically wanted to put me on that, on her officially plugged in website, which I was like, yeah, sure. And you know what? I have a bunch of people I can hook you up with, you know, just share the love.
Yeah.
I started referring people to her. I probably got like 30 people to sign up with her. And then she kind of in returns like, oh, that was awesome. Thanks for referring me all those people. And hey, let me help you out with the blast and boom, boom, boom. You know, and it's like, and she runs people's MySpaces and Facebooks and Twitter or whatever you call it. Twick, something.
Yeah.
Does all that stuff. And she's, you know, it's very helpful. And, online presence, having people to assist you, and I've had some intern kind of people helping me out with promotion as well for certain films. And if you see the growth and the traffic that it drives, as an example, I send out a newsletter, it's on. Like I'll get thousands of emails, even if there's somebody just replying and saying, dude, following you, love it, you're awesome, or congratulations, the one word, but it's still emails you gotta go through. So the marketing works.
This is your...
It's my personal
This is your newsletter. Email blast. It goes out to thousands of people.
Yes. I think I have approximately just about 8,000 people on my newsletter program right now. So if I send out a newsletter, I get a lot of replies. So it's something that you got to be aware of, too. It's like... And you want to reply to people when they reply to you, because it's like they're giving you support and props on the work you're doing, or, you know, and they're on your newsletter and not putting you in spam or deleting you, or, you know, they're actually viewing it. So you want to reply back and say thank you for your support, or hey, man, how you doing, Dave? I haven't talked to you in a while. Sorry, I've been busy, but, you know, following your career, man, great radio show, you know? And then that sparks other things, like I'm sitting here with you right now and we're radioing it up, you know, getting a little extra promotion.
Wow, and do you have someone else helping you answer these emails, or is that falling into your lap as well?
I'd say probably 95% is me.
All right, so that's coming then. You're getting to that point where you're going to bring on someone to help you sort through some of these emails.
I try to, but it's really hard because they're personal, and I can't have people answer my stuff. It's like Wendy helps me out sometimes on like the MySpace and the Facebook because they're just – an abundance of stuff there. So, but as far as personal, you send me to Paul at pauljlse.com, and I reply. Sometimes it takes me a little while, though, but I will get to you.
And then with pauljlse.com, you have a guy named David Cosgrove that helps you with that as well. So you don't have just Wendy. You also have...
Oh, no. Wendy just was the first person that came to my mind. We were talking about online promotion. Okay. But no, David's...
What does David do for you exactly?
He does a lot of stuff for me as well. He's the one that sets up my newsletters and sends them out and controls the whole thing. He developed my website for me. He developed a bunch of websites for me. He developed a Knuckle Draggers website, my personal website, a lot of actor friends of mine's websites. Every movie that I've basically done over the last 3 years, David designed the website for me. He hosts, you know, some of them, and he does a lot of work for me website wise.
Yeah, I mean, that's amazing. You know, to have that kind of online presence, and of course you have these people that are tied into it, and they're helping you push all this forward.
Mm-hmm. And with your story, Paul, it's important to realize how you got into modeling so we can understand how you got into acting. Can you tell us about your first modeling job?
Okay. You guys did your homework. Look at that. Well, basically, I was in New York at the time, and I was working at doing some construction type work where I was doing spackling and taping, and it was an interior design person I was working for, and it was like on 42nd and Broadway, Manhattan, and it was in the fashion district that gets, well, not really fashion district, but this floor was this fashion district where they did a lot of fit modeling, and I don't know if you know what that is. It's you have the different seasons where people, the buyers come in and buy clothes.
Right.
And so I'm spackling a wall, and I guess one of their models didn't show up because this kind of place is getting redone. Mm-hmm. And basically, a girl comes up to me as I'm on the ladder, this girl, Nancy, and she's like, hey, do you want to model for us? We're missing somebody, and I think you'd be great. And I'm kind of like, no. And she's like, well, I know what you're making, and you'll be making a lot more money modeling. And I'm like, well, what do I got to do? So basically, I did this fit modeling stuff. You stand there, you put your arms up, you turn around, you put your arms down, you do these little things. And one of the buyers that came in actually took a liking to me, I guess, and asked me who I was represented by. And I said, nobody. This is the first time I'm doing this. And she gave me a card. And I went to meet with this guy and basically started sending him out on some modeling gigs, which is kind of a little surreal or weird.
And then you ended up in Los Angeles.
You're on vacation in L.A., right?
Yep.
And you somehow end up auditioning for the TLC video Waterfalls, directed by F. Gary Gray. How was that experience?
I could talk to you about that for hours, but it was my first actual experience of being like a somewhat of a celebrity in a sense on set. Like, I basically got there, had my own trailer with my name on it. I was like, what the heck is this? I had this assistant that was basically, anything you need, follow me around, get me water. You want a banana? I want a banana. You know, it's like, it was just a little surreal. Big budget kind of music video, which is somebody that's not an actor that was basically just doing some, just started doing some modeling stuff.
I'm trying to put this in perspective here. So you were in New York. You had just started some modeling.
Yep.
You know, what you just talked about the first booking. And then didn't you say you were on vacation here in L.A.?
Yeah, well, basically what happened was...
And then, like, how do you get this audition? All of a sudden you're auditioning for this TLC video.
I came out to visit my sister's friend, Jackie, who went to Pepperdine University with my sister. And she had some friends in the business, and I had this model agent in New York. I told him I was out in California if they knew anything to hook me up with. So I was trying to work it a little bit, to go on some calls, some go-sees and stuff like that. And I hear that someone tells me there's an audition for this group, TLC. And I really didn't know who the heck they were, to be honest. So I'm like, I'm going to crash it. Let's just rock with this, right? And then I called some people to try to get me in. And there's this agent that I was just getting with called Byron. I forget the name of the agency at the moment. But so I kind of got in there, and three of the girls are from Brooklyn, and I'm from Queens, so we kind of like hit it off real quick. And they're kind of looking for somebody with my kind of eyes as well.
Okay.
And, you know, we're just flirting a little bit and having fun, and then they're like, we're going to hook you up. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. And they're like, no, we're going to hook you up. I'm like, all right. And next thing you know, I get the call, and they like cast me as like one of the main dudes in the video, which is kind of real considering I have like no acting experience, don't know what the heck I'm doing.
That's amazing.
And so the set was very interesting.
And then there you are working with a pretty big Hollywood director, F. Gary Gray. I mean, is there anything else you can tell us about that experience?
Yeah, man, F. Gary Gray is awesome. Don't know how he put up with me, to be honest. Great guy. I mean, after we won Best Video of the Year, he actually wrote me this really cool letter just telling me, you know, couldn't do it without you and the support. But basically what happened was, you know, they're telling me, you know, camera right, go to the first mark, second mark, you know, expecting me to be this actor, and I'm just like had to throw up the timeout sign. And I was like, yo, timeout, timeout. And, you know, I'm straight out of New York at the time, and my accent was a little more than it is now, and I had the whole New York vibe going. And he's like, all right, he thinks I'm playing with him. And I'm like, no, dude, timeout, bro. I said, if you want me to go over there to that yellow tape, just tell me yellow tape. If you want me to go to this side, just tell me to go left. And he thought I was messing with him. And finally, I guess he seen my face, and he was like, dude, are you joking with me? And I'm like, no, I'm dead serious. So he calls like a time. He calls everybody take five, and the bell goes off, and he calls me in the room, and I'm like, and he's like, "What's going on, man? Why are you ruining my set?" And I'm like, "I'm not, man." I said, "It's the first job I've ever got. I don't know what's going on here. You keep telling me doing all these things. I don't know the language. I'm like, just talk to me simple. I'll do what you want."
Yeah.
And he's just like, looks at me like I have three heads, and he's like, "Damn casting!" And he like. Slams the clipboard down the board and kind of like storms off for a second, spins around, comes back. He's like, all right, we're going to deal with this and we're going to make it work.
Okay.
Gets in front of this. He calls me in the room, puts me in front of a mirror. He goes, this is what I need you to do. And he starts making the faces. And he's like, copy me. And I was just copying him, doing the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Went out there and he started talking to me, tried to give me a little teaching, like, you know, the yellow tape is, you know, this is your first mark, second mark, whatever. He goes, but don't worry about that. I'm going to talk to you just like me and you. So we get out there and he goes, yo, Paul, move to your left a little. Let's go back to your first spot where you were over there on the green tape, you know, and it's like, and we rocked it, man. I mean, it was just full on, it was good. We had a ball, and basically, I know you're going to ask me this, but we shoot for like 10 hours.
10-hour day, it's, you know, one of these standard long, you know, Hollywood production days.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, the last scene of the day, and they come up, they start telling me, well, this is a scene where you just had sex with the girl, and you're going to kick back, and you're laying in bed, and you're going to light up a cigarette and you're gonna smoke it and just blow out the smoke and we're gonna roll back and pull wide and da-da-da. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not doing that. And he's like, what? I was like, I don't smoke, bro, and I ain't gonna smoke for your video. And he's like, dude, stop messing with me, right? And I'm like, I ain't messing with you, dude. I'm like a health nut and there's no way I'm smoking in your video. So we roll another, like, all right, everybody take five again. Come here. We go back in the back room again. He's like, dude, we just shot for 10 hours. Do you know how much money this has just cost us? This is what it was set up to be.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you got to do this. And I'm like, he was real genuine about it, cool dude. And I was like, man, I don't smoke, man. I was like, he's like, can you just give it a try? I was like, I'll try. I said, but that's all I can do. And he's like, yeah, just try. That's all I'm asking. If you can't do it, we'll figure something else out. And I was like, deal. We get out there. I take the first puff. And then, you know, they're trying to teach me how to not inhale. Dude, I take the first puff. I'm like gagging. My eyes are like totally brick red. I'm coughing, choking. I'm like, they're all laughing at me, dude. Like the whole set's an uproar. And then basically, they had some dude laying on the side of the bed, smoking a cigarette, like blowing it, and then they're yelling action, pulling away. Then they tried a different way where they put like a hole in the cigarette pack and they were doing like these taps with making these rings come up right over my head. Then they'd yell action, the guy pull away, and I just pretend to be blowing up like the smoke's coming out of my mouth. And dude, if you see the video, you can't even tell, man. It looks like I'm smoking. It's just movie magic. But
these Hollywood
smoking
tricks.
Double.
But F. Gary Gray, I didn't know who he was at the time or what, but the guy is very cool, man. I'm much respect to him for dealing with me and turning me on to that was my first taste of the acting stuff, man, and that's when I started to get a little bit of the bug. And here I am on, you know, vacation.
And so was it from that experience that you said, you know what, I think I want to do this for the rest of my life?
It was something that definitely put a bug in me. It wasn't something that right there it ignited it. What I started doing after that, I wanted to get a little bit more taste of what was going on. And like my sister's friend and some of the people I knew had some connections with certain things. So I started going onto some sets and checking things out. And I started doing a little bit of extra work just to get the vibe and see what's going on. And this is going to sound a little cocky in a sense, but I'm watching some of these actors and they're hand feeding them the lines on these TV shows. And I'm like, oh, dude, I could do that. That shit don't look hard at all. Needless to say, I'm going to take that back and say once I started getting to acting class, that shit is really hard, is not easy, and I give props to all those guys that I was originally saying I could do that. That ain't hard, because those guys were killing it.
Yeah.
After I learned, so.
So that's the thing. You spent 6, 7, 8 years in acting class, something like that?
Yeah, I just started just started, you know, I'm the guy that wants to do things right. I don't just want to go out there and wing it, yeah, in a sense, which I've winged stuff in the past, but it's if you're going to put your heart into it. So I started going to class and learning because I didn't want to, yeah, you know.
Absolutely.
So I went in class until my acting teacher told me, dude, you're good enough to be working. Get out of my class. And I was like, what? And he's like, dude, get out of my class and go get some work.
And that's what I want to ask. So, you know, you obviously, you had the TLC video. You know, you kind of worked your way into that situation.
Yep.
You know, through just the networks and, you know, the connecting, yep, that you do. But then how do you start going out and actually booking the work now?
Well,
now that you have the training and everything.
Funny enough, I'm a backpedal for a second because it was this film right after I did the TLC video. They seen me in it and they contacted me. And the guy coincidentally knew one of my friends, independent low budget film called Don't Feed the Animals.
Okay.
And the guy cast me as one of the lead actors, but I was playing a model called Ty. So that's one of the experience I had when I was like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing, man. It's like I need to go to some acting classes. This ain't, you know, that easy. So TLC, I did this other movie. Then that's when I got into acting class and, okay, I studied for a long time, a couple different teachers.
Yeah.
So now, just to elaborate on some of that to give you a little more background. Okay. But all right, your question was again?
It was then, now you have the training.
Yeah.
How are you booking the work? You know, like now you're back at ground zero.
Yeah,
like, what steps are you taking to get those first jobs?
That's catch 22 because I have no reel. Mm. And, you know, I'm trying to get out there, get an agent, and let me see your reel. I don't got one. You know what I mean? Let me see it. I got a headshot. You know, you take 50 million headshots with people, and, you know, it's hard. So what I started doing was I was like, all right, I'm going to make this happen. I'll make my own reel. You know, so I said, let me put together a short film or something where I could be in it and cut that together to use as my reel. So started doing some network with some friends and trying to get something together and put together my first short film, basically. And it did really well. They started winning some festivals and getting a lot of recognition. And with that, you know, someone's like, hey, man, do you want to help me produce this thing? And so I wound up doing a bunch of short films, some music videos, a couple commercials. I started getting paid for some of this stuff, you know, especially the commercials. And I was like, man, this is pretty, I don't want to say easy, but something that falls into my realm of networking and putting stuff together. So I started producing stuff and then started working on some independent films and helping them out with them. And then people were like, hey, do you want to help us produce this? Because, you know, you got it going on. And I'm like, sure. Do I still get to do my acting part? And they're like, yeah. So, you know, next thing you know, it's like, I'm going to produce, man. I give myself parts, give my friends parts, you know, give my friends jobs. And that's basically how it started in a short.
So let's fast forward a little bit here. All actors, you know, as with most people, but actors especially go through downtimes in their careers. And we're wondering, when those times have hit, how have you kept your spirits up? How have you kept yourself going?
Well, in the downtimes, I'm still very proactive in the sense of I work all the time. Even if there's downtimes, I'm like... Mm-hmm.
You just want to keep busy.
Let's do a short. Let's do, like right now, there's finishing up Knuckle Dragons and promotion and going to be, hopefully, if everything goes as planned, doing starting up another film beginning of summer. And I'm sitting here, all right, well, I got a little bit of time in between the two if everything goes planned, right? I said, let's do a web series. Let's do a couple, you know, let's bust something out in between the two things. And, I mean, I had a short film festival that I was running for a little bit that I put together, and I ran that for I think four venues. I mean, four different times until I started doing the features and got too busy to do it. Maybe I'll put one of those together again to support the independent filmmakers and the guys with shorts. Because when I had my shorts, it's a little hard getting into that whole field without knowing the right people, getting your film shown without having names in it. So I put this little venue together for all my friends had short films so they could screen it. And kind of like a network film night is what I called it, so everyone could get together and collaborate and work together on other projects, which definitely worked for a lot of people, including myself, and tagged me up with people to where I started doing more, you know, features. And unfortunately, one person, I don't have the time to continue to do that while I'm doing the other projects.
So, man, that's what I love about Paul. Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, if you're hearing this, Karen, it's like here he is. He has his acting training. Mm-hmm. He's going out. He's trying to audition. He's trying to book the job. It's not coming, and he tells himself, "I'm just gonna go and I'm gonna make my own film
right.
and get that out. I'm gonna create my own work." And then even once you finish the film, you're like, I need to distribute. I need to find an audience. And you go out and you start your own little festival series.
Yeah.
Amazing.
You know, I wish more people took it upon themselves like that, where they don't just, you know, what do you think about these people that they just wait and they rely for other people to come in and make something happen for them? I mean,
well, I can't knock all of them, man, because it seems like some of them luck out and actually get work. But, you know, like I say, I've heard them say, you can't sit there and wait for somebody to knock on the door and say, hey, I got a job for you, because you could be waiting a really long time and basically waiting forever. So I'm not waiting for anyone to knock on my door and say, I got a part for you. I'm going to go out there and make my own part, get my own part, and do what I have to do to make it happen.
Mm-hmm. Proactive.
So, and how many films that you've acted in have you also produced at this point?
Including like short films and stuff like that?
Everything across the board.
Yeah, I'm not even sure, to be honest.
You think it's at least 5, 6?
I don't know. It's probably at least between shorts and all that, probably a dozen, easy. At least a dozen.
Okay.
Between features and short films. Yeah, probably a dozen films. And then I produced a lot that just for my friends or people like, you know, hey, man, I'll roll with that for you. Let's knock it out where I'm not in it. And I just hook my friends up with parts, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're talking here with actor-producer Paul J. Alessi. His film Knuckle Draggers premieres at the Newport Beach Film Festival this Sunday, April 26th at 4 p.m. Now, Paul, let's talk about your film Knuckle Draggers. How long had it been in your mind to produce this independent feature, and was it always part of the plan for you to have a lead role in it?
All right, that's a good question. Mm-hmm. A good friend of mine, a buddy of mine, Alex Renaravello. Here's your plug, buddy.
Can you say that again?
Alex Renaravello.
That's a cool last name.
That's
there.
That's great. I like that.
Yeah. Well, I produced a few shorts with him in the past already. He was the first guy that I did Morphine with. Was a short film we did together, which has done really well.
And was that your first short film, the one you were referencing?
Yes, it was my first short film.
That was the first one.
Alex directed it. I produced it with actually Alex's brother and some other people. It was our first one. I actually starred in it, and a bunch of our friends. And basically, since then, we did some commercials together, and the music video we did, and some other short films. And so, basically, he wrote Knuckle Draggers, and had me in mind to play Kyle, and a few of my friends in mind for other parts. And he said, "Dude, I want you to read this and tell me what you think." And you know, keep in mind the role of Kyle of you. And I read it and I liked it. And basically we started collaborating a couple of different things. And I mean, we were shooting pretty quick from the time we started, you know, going forward with it, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. You know, when I look at your credits and how your career is like unfolding, it looked like you were definitely at that point in time where it was time for you to be in an independent feature where you had a lead role. And, you know, so were you looking for that? Like, did you go to Alex saying, look, I'm really looking for an independent feature? Or was it something where he came to you with the feature?
We've been, you know, talking and collaborating about doing different projects for a long time. Of course, you know, your goal is to make features. That's what you want to do. And we're talking about doing our next one, you know, and so on and so forth. And, I mean, I wanted a lead role. So that was definitely part of it.
Yeah.
My goal, actually, is I like ensemble pieces. I like scripts that have a lot of characters, so I can play a big role, and then a bunch of other people can play big roles around me to kind of like help out with the distribution factor and more talented people, opposed to, I'm not saying that the people that aren't working a lot aren't talented, but there's name recognition, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So trying to step it up to some people that have a little bit more credits than I do, that can bring a little more recognition to the film. So to answer your question, yes, I wanted to play a bigger role than some of the independent films I was doing. But with that being said, it was a very big task to be like the main producer on the film and then also be one of the lead actors in it. It was a very big challenge.
I mean, what was it about this story that made you want to tell it?
Well, honestly, Alex wrote it. It's his creation.
Yeah.
I read it and really liked it, and I agree with it. And the main thing that got to me and some of the stuff we worked on was we wanted to be able to hit, inspire, and have emotions from many different people and many different facets of this dating world. So, like, one of the characters some people will gel with, some people will hate him, mm-hmm. some other people will love one character, hate him, or, you know, they'll identify with them in one way or another. And that's, we tried to make a bunch of different characters and have people identify them and have an emotion, if that makes any sense. So I like that part. And basically, a few of the characters in the film, I have some very close friends that are exactly like these guys.
Interesting.
And it's like, we want to kind of like show that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that's basically why I wanted to make it. I thought it's a cool friend kind of film, dating film. I like romantic comedies, as lame as it sounds for a guy to say that. I'm not saying, you know, I'm the big action guy. I like romantic comedies, man. They're good date movies. And
Sleepless in Seattle.
I was a big Meg Ryan fan when I was younger.
Oh, good.
Oh, I loved her. She was awesome. Until anyway, let's not go there.
So here you are. So Alex has written the script.
Yep.
And you read it and you're like, I like this. So, like, how do you start going about to produce this thing? Like, where's the money coming in? How's this thing really getting to where you're going to be in production making it?
Well, in the independent world, it's one of my main challenges, I think, in doing any kind of project is funding. So you have to get the funding. And fortunately, we were pretty lucky to say that we have some close friends that we basically started talking to about doing the film, and they were nice enough to support us in that fact, and basically telling people what we think we can do this film for. And people like, what? That you mm-hmm. can do it for that? And we're like, yeah. And like, are you sure? And I'm like, yeah. And basically, that basically got the funding with a lot of close friends and support.
I mean, how many people did you approach? Did you face a lot of rejection in terms of going after the money?
No, that's what I was saying. We're pretty lucky. We approached the first two people.
Really?
Oh, wow.
And between the, like, we have four executive producers on the film.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the deal, really.
And so what was it held by your previous track record of?
Well, like I said, they're close people to us, close friends, and they seen what we were producing and what we were pulling off as far as the short films and the quality and the focus that we have and the dedication. And when you're looking at, you know, independent low budget film, and that, you know, people want to get behind you and if they have the money and support, great. You know, I know people that are, for their first films, they got millions of dollars to do stuff, you know, and I'm sitting there going, oh man, that'd be so cool. But you know, it's you got to start somewhere, you know. So we got the money and we were rolling like really quick.
You know, I just want to say, because I've come across a quote recently where it just says, because, you know, it almost sounds like, you know, this guy is too lucky. You know what I mean? It's just like how stuff just falling in place. And it's, but, you know, it's from Benjamin Franklin. I think even Donald Trump has a variation of it where, you know, the lucky people are literally those that just go out and they just work hard, you know, and you kind of create your own luck. I mean,
you know, I don't think.
What do you think about that?
I'm not going to say that I'm not lucky or anything like that, but I'm going to say that I work my butt off.
Exactly.
24/7. Mm-hmm. And ain't nothing being handed to me. Mm. Not at all. It's I'm knocking doors down. I'm knocking people. I created those seeds. Yeah. So it's not something that it's going to sound a little lame, but it's like, you know, you plant a seed and it starts to grow and then you pick that fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, it's lucky he got an orange. It's like, what? Dude, I was nurturing that thing for a long time, man. It just didn't pop up and give me an orange, man. I had to plant the seed, water it, maintenance that tree, you know, go through the whole thing. And then, you know, then I got the orange. You know what I mean? It's not like, dude, this guy got the orange. It's like, no, man, I worked that for a long time. And then when time came upon to call upon some of my connections and not for, you know, astronomical figures, they were there to support it. You know what I'm saying? So it's the work, man. Ain't nothing with luck. I'm not, you know, as far as this project is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me get it. Some guy knocks on his door right now and offers me $5 million for the next project. Out of nowhere, I don't know. Yeah, I'm going to say that's some luck right there. But if it's some guy that I know, then it, you know, it ain't luck. It's hard work, dedication, and persistency.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And being an actor as well as a producer, how did you go about casting this movie?
Yeah, that was a challenge in the sense of you got to draw a line somewhere. We have a lot of friends in the business, a mm-hmm. lot of like really good actors, like mm-hmm. talented actors.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like I said earlier, you want to start to step up the game. You know, you can't work with your same friends playing the leads on, you know, continuously because it's hard to grow. Mm-hmm. So what we did was basically all my friends, pretty much, you know, mine, Alex's, and our group,
yeah,
cast them in every possible supporting role, little role, minor role, you name it, cast everybody. And the main six characters,
okay,
we were like, we're going to work this, man, and I'm going to try to get the best talent to fit in that spot that has some kind of, like, you know, working vibe going on. Or, and, you know, and then we met with a casting director through some friends of ours, and they've tried to, like, help us and move us along with some stuff. And it's just connections calling things in. It's like, let's use Ross McCall as an example.
Okay. He's the lead of the film, Ross McCall.
Yeah, he's the lead. He plays the Ethan character.
Okay.
I mean, we've seen a lot of people, you know. We met with, like, Jerry Ferrara from Entourage, and we're trying to work out the deal with him to play that role. And then we met with Ross while we were trying to close the Jerry Ferrara deal.
Okay.
And I didn't know who Ross was at the time. All I know is we went in there, and we were supposed to meet with him prior to something, but it didn't work out. But anyway, so we're in there meeting with Ross, and he's reading, and it was me, Alex, and Amy Barsky. And she's co-produced the film, and she plays Patricia, and Alex, the director. So three of us in this room.
Okay.
And Ross starts doing his read, and I'm like, I immediately start throwing the thumbs up, because he's the first guy we auditioned that had the accent down.
Oh, wow.
Because it's supposed to be my brother, and it takes place in New York, how Alex wrote it.
Yeah.
So we want to try to keep at least the New York accent going. And I'm like, he's on, man. He's got the accent. You know, I'm like giving the thumbs up, and Amy's looking back at me. She's giving like two thumbs up because she likes his look and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And Alex, I don't even think, was looking over at me. He was just like staring at him, you know, doing his whole director thing. He gets through the audition, and I'm like, so where you from in New York, bro? And he's like, I'll tell you later. Let's continue to talk. And then, you know, we're going on the thing, doing the whole thing. And basically, at the end of the meeting, we're about to walk out, he busts out in this, like, British, not, he's from London. So he busts out this whole, like, different accent.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm from London, mate, you know? And I'm like, get the hell out of here. He had the accent down, like, you know.
Unbelievable.
Perfect. So anyway, I know I rambled a little bit about that, but, we basically wound up casting Ross. Like, after he left, I was just like, me, Amy, I was like, dude, let's cast him right now and just don't care what anybody else thinks. Let's get this guy. And we basically contacted his representation and worked out the deal.
Awesome.
Then we had Omar Gooding. Phenomenal. Phenomenal actor. Funny dude. Great guy.
That's Cuba Gooding Jr.'s brother, right?
Yeah, Cuba's brother. Yeah. He's awesome. We got him, basically a friend of ours knew him's girl. His friend of ours knew his girlfriend knew him or something like that, and got him a script. And basically, he read the script. I don't know how he read the script, because a lot of actors don't like reading stuff, you know, unless they're big budget projects. He read it and liked it, and then basically, you know, in talks with his agent and stuff like that, we worked out the deal and basically got Omar on board. Then we had Jennifer Alden and Sarah Delaney basically auditioned them, and that was a funny one, because me and Alex were basically in a debate of which role they should play. We liked both of them. It came down and we're like, which one should play this one and which one should play that one? It was like, so we had to figure that whole thing out, but we knew we liked them both, but we wanted them for two different roles. So it was kind of funny. So wound up casting both of them and agreed upon a role there. Justin Baldoni, he actually came in to read for the Ethan role.
Okay.
And as he was reading for the Ethan role, he did it, you know, we all liked him. We thought he was great, liked the vibe, but Alex didn't really feel him as being like my brother, and then we were just casting Ross. So, but we read him anyway, and we're like, dude, we gotta get this guy in the film. Let's see if he'll play Gavin, which is you know, the main band member guy. Okay. He dates the Patricia character, and I don't want to tell you about the story because people don't want to ruin it for people. But
we're gonna see it this Sunday down in Newport.
Yeah,
so
we're looking forward.
Yeah,
to
so yeah, you know, negotiate with his agent to try to get him, you know, to come on board at the smaller role, because he, you know, read for the lead. And, you know, the guy works, so it's he liked the project. He said, yeah, man, I want to be involved. Obviously, you know, I'd rather play the lead, but I'll definitely, I want to be involved, and let's jump on. Cool guy, man, great actor, and yeah, I'll work with him again for sure. I'll cast that dude and a bunch of stuff, and then
So hold on there, Paul. So
yeah.
So I love what, because you know, you're casting this film, and you are looking for talented people. You're looking for working people.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what you've done. So you know, you had smaller roles that you did try to bring as many of your people on, but you also have money on the line. So
yep.
You had to bring in people that have credibility that also help you. You know, so you know, everything I'm seeing that you're telling me is like you have your eye on the big picture throughout the whole process.
Absolutely. Well, you see, I've learned a lot through the film festival circuit. Like I did two films, two short films. I'll leave the names out. One of them had a bunch of like working actors in it,
mm-hmm.
and the second one had me as basically the lead actor. Submitted them to the same festivals. And everybody would call on the one with all the working actors and, oh, we want to send a limo for so-and-so. I want to do this. And I'm like, yeah, well, what about my other film? You know, whatever. Somebody will get back to you on that. Do you know? And honestly, without being biased, the film that I'm in, everybody that sees it says it's a way better film overall, hands down. And never, you know, I didn't get the respect that I got for the film with the talent in it, because the film festivals want the talent to bring the people, and it makes sense, they want the people to come to see the people that are famous or that are in it. It puts more butts in the seat, generates more revenue.
Absolutely.
And same thing, sells tickets. So you gotta, you know, you gotta be business savvy with certain things and saying, look, we want to sell this thing, it's a low budget to begin with, so we can't compete with the big studio pictures as far as production value and all the other elements that we don't have funds for. But if we get a good talented cast with a little name recognition and we kill it on the acting end and tell a good story that touches people, we'll get distribution. At least that's my plans. So and I will get distribution. So anyway, so that's basically that's it. That was I mean, I could elaborate more, but you know, I'm a talker. I could talk all day.
No, we love it. We love it. What would you say is one secret you know now that you wish you knew when you began your career?
Oh, wow. A secret. The secret to me, which is, I mean, I have a good, pretty good take on people for the most part. But there's a few people in this, business that are backstabbers, that are a little shady. And I wish I'd known some of those people were shady before I got into bed with them on a couple projects and stuff like that. I like that. Mm-hmm. That'd be a big thing. It's that's one element that I wish, you know, I'd be able to tell more, because people say one thing and do another.
I know. That's definitely something you get involved with. I think that's you know, across the board and anything
so many
you do.
Things, I know. It's tough, and especially in this town too.
Yeah, it's got a lot of babies in this town, to be quite frank. You know, everyone sees the Hollywood dream and they want to do this and they want to do that, but they don't want to put the hustle in, and you know. Yeah, you know, it's tough. So you got to weed out. It's like a fish tank. You got to weed out the bottom feeders, you know, and you got to step it up and swim up top with the working good fish, the pretty fish, so to say, or whatever you want to call it. But it's there's a lot of bottom feeders, unfortunately.
All right, there's a few more questions I definitely want to try to squeeze in here, Paul. You mentioned distribution, You've already been contacted by distributors for Knuckle Draggers. Like, when did that start occurring for you?
It's been for a little bit because of a trailer. Basically, people saw I'd seen the trailer, and I, like I said, networking wise, I know a bunch of people. So people started calling me from previous films, like, "Hey, I seen your thing on IMDb, and you know, I'd like to see it. I want to see a screener." So I've been contacted from a bunch of people so far.
That's good to hear. So you literally get the trailer online, and then they start coming your way. They start nibbling.
Well, actually, I think the IMDb, between IMDb and the trailer, people started hitting me up right away, and I was just like, "Oh, wait till the premiere, man."
And what advice would you give to new actors? You know, people just setting foot in maybe New York or LA or wherever they are that are new to this profession.
Well, it's one of my acting teachers told me is if you're not working on your goal or your craft every day, you're not doing something right. You need to work on your business, which yourself as an actor, that's your business. And you need to work on that every day. And if you're not, then you're slacking.
Mm. You know, and staying with Knuckle Draggers, I mean, how far are you going to take that on the festival circuit? Do you have plans?
I don't have a very big plan for a film festival circuit for Knuckle Draggers. Mm-hmm. Reason being is I'd like to tie up the distribution on that, and I want to start my next film. I've been waiting to do something else, and I don't want to start something else until this one's finished, because I've had to take a couple breaks so far from Knuckle Draggers to go do other films.
Yeah.
And it's taken a little longer to get Knuckle Draggers out than I would have liked it to. And it's, you know, it's a lot of work. So and if I'm not there, nobody in the sense is doing it. This is my, you know, my part of the thing. So I want to finish this, get distribution on it. There's some other festivals. I like, we're the closing night ceremony film for the Real Heart Toronto Film Festival,
mm-hmm.
which is June 27th, which is a good honor to be the closing night film.
Well,
so we're doing that. Thanks. And then we got the Delray Beach Film Festival. We're in after that. But honestly, we haven't had a big... we're picking a few select festivals just to make our premiere and get it out there and have some people see it, but we're not doing a complete festival run unless things change, and it's right now that's my my move on it.
You know, I want to talk just the way that Paul mind, you know, the way his mind works is, you know, it's very similar to the way my mind works sometimes.
I'm sorry.
we come into the studio today, and Paul was here just this past week with Kip Brown, who's on LA Talk Radio on Saturdays on In the Can, mm-hmm. which is, you know, me and Karen were actually on In the Can just mm-hmm. a few weeks ago. And we come into the studio, and we have these beautiful, what do you call these postcards that have Knuckle Draggers on them as you walk into the studio. Yeah. So, you know, he brought a stack full. He has them as people walk in. Mm-hmm. You know, that once again, that's hard work. It's genius to, you know, you have all these... radio personalities that are getting ready to do their shows, they have their exposure to your film. You have no idea whether, you know, they might come on and say, hey, you know, Knuckle Draggers, you know.
Yeah. So that's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah.
Knuckle Draggers.
So anyway, what else are you doing in terms of marketing the film and promoting the film?
What am I not doing? is the question. No, like yesterday, man, I was out all day hustling. Me and Alex, we were at Newport Beach. Circulating, getting those 5x7 cards in front of people, putting them up places. We have like 11x14 size posters and other posters, and I was at a bunch of the colleges, the film schools, me and Alex handing out flyers and putting up posters and stuff at the colleges, you know, at the film schools, because they're, you figure, target the audience that will come to your movie. Mm-hmm. Filmmakers, independent filmmakers want to see other independent filmmakers, you know, mm-hmm. they're learning, they want to see what we put out. And then also, this film is very targeted towards kind of like, you know, dating relationships,
mm-hmm.
and we think that they'll enjoy it. So we hit a lot of the colleges, the local area around where our film's screening. We took out an ad in the OC Weekly, half-page ad promoting the film in
nice.
Orange County. I've been doing radio as, hello, I'm here right now, Knuckle Draggers the movie, Newport Beach, 26th. 4 o'clock. Anyway,
absolutely.
Just doing that. Online marketing, tremendous amount of online marketing between MySpace, Facebook, Twitter, a gazillion other sites. I have so many social network sites that I'm on as far as promoting, and a lot of that comes with David Cosgrove and Wendy Shepherd helping out, and some of my other people that I haven't mentioned yet. But
let's mention them. Who else you got? How many people you have, you know, working with you?
Dude, how much time we got left on this show?
You know, we got a couple minutes left here.
I got you right here helping me out. I got Kip Brown helping me out. I got Amy Barsky, who plays Patricia, helps out tremendously.
Yeah,
does a lot of promotion for the film and logging onto the sites and doing
absolutely.
Stuff. I'm drawing some blanks here.
No problem. You know, that's the key, though. It's like it's not just a solo effort.
Right. No,
we do bring on people, and it takes a lot to promote these films and to market them and to get people interested in seeing them.
Yeah, it's I call it a team, and what I've been doing for a while is it's like I'm an athlete, or at least I used to be an athlete. Now it's kind of hard to get even into the gym, but what you like to do is I'm trying to build a team,
mm-hmm.
a team that everybody works together, that helps one another, that is selfless, that, you know, is not greedy, mm-hmm. and that is talented to put together these great pieces of work. And it's been a nice challenge, and I'm finding some really great team players. So I'm putting together this team that eventually will continue to work together in different facets of making the film. Like, I don't have to play the lead in every film, and I don't even have to be in every film. But the people that I work with, they might be playing two lines as an office person in this film, and the next film they'll be the lead, or vice versa. So I try, if you like look at my IMDb and you look at all the stuff I did from short films, same people in every one of my projects continuously. Now, if they're not there anymore, it's kind of because they're probably not that sharing. Oh. But if you're a team player, yeah. I'm building that team, man. My team's going to awesome. Go pro. And that's right. basically the way I look at it. And I'm just getting all those people together.
All right, we're glad to have you as part of our team here, Paul.
Heck yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for coming in. Once again, today's show has been brought to us by the Holly Shorts Film Festival. Visit hollyshorts.com to submit your short film today.
Mm-hmm. And again, we've been speaking with actor-producer Paul J. Alessi. Paul, thank you so much for being here today.
That went fast. We're done already.
You believe it? Yeah, we covered a lot of ground.
And again, you can find out more about Paul at pauljalessi.com. And we cannot wait for next Sunday, the world premiere of Knuckle Draggers, which again, Sunday, April 26th at 4 p.m. at the Newport Beach Film Festival. Find out more about Knuckle Draggers by visiting knuckledraggersthemovie.com. We want to thank you for listening. We will be here again next Sunday at 11 a.m. at latalkradio.com. And before we leave you today, we want to remind you to dream big and trust your gut. Have a great week.
You're listening to Film Courage with David.